Galesburg's Morning News.
Good morning. It is 8:41. Galesburg's Morning News, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, Tyler Bachman. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday morning. Well, that season is here, storm season. We're going to talk about storm preparedness, find out what Ameren does, and it seems like a pretty well-oiled machine. And, you know, Jim, you were talking earlier about how you see these, especially when there's been a bad one roll through like last year with Cameron, these armies of trucks and people coming in. It's a pretty amazing process. And joining us to talk more about it, Deanna Jones. She is a division director for Ameren. Deanna, good morning. Thanks for coming in with us today.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start a little bit with Ameren and that process. I know that, you know, you've got meteorologists sitting there watching the weather and what's going to happen ahead of it. And we're not talking when the storms hit. We're talking ahead of that. And that's something that you guys have as a company have to do. And you have people that do that.
That's absolutely right. We have a very comprehensive storm plan. It's similar to an incident command structure that you think of in the military. Everyone has a role and a responsibility that is involved in storm restoration. And we do have a very sophisticated weather system that we subscribe to. We watch the weather 24/7. And our emergency operations center, we have employees that it's their responsibility to send that information out to all of the rest of us. And so at any time that severe weather is predicted to hit our service territory, that information is provided to all of us, very specific with information about wind speeds, gusts, anything that might cause damage to our system. And then also if it's significant enough, we go through an alert system. And when that alert comes out, then that's when it triggers us in operations to begin our preparation. We start to make sure that our trucks are fueled and fully stocked, that we have materials and supplies ready, that our folks take home their mobile devices, laptop computers, phones. All those things are charged and ready to go in case we would have to begin in the middle of the night.
So it's all about preparation, organization, and being ready, being proactive, I guess, as they like to say, huh?
Very much so. We try to be as proactive as we can, as much as even if we know that there's going to be significant in particular areas, we'll even send crews the day before, the night before, so that when the storm does hit, we're then ready to roll and work as quickly and as efficiently as we can.
You talked about kind of the command center where you do all this preparation. Is that in one particular office? Is that in Decatur? Is that in St. Louis? Where does that take place?
The actual Ameren, Illinois Emergency Operations Center is located in Decatur. Mm-hmm. But in Illinois, we're structured in 6 operating divisions, and each division has their own command center team for storms then also. And we report up through to the EOC when it officially opens, when there is a significant storm.
Deanna, when this initially started to be so prepared, was there actually some looking at the military way of doing things to put this plan in place, say what like the National Guard would do?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some folks in our organization that have a military background. And so when we formalized, we've always for years had storm plans and preparations. But in the last several years, we've become very formalized, and it's a fully written document. And some of the folks that had that military background had gotten really involved in the storm preparation piece of things. And that's when we implemented the incident command structure.
Mm-hmm. And in the case of, like, Cameron last year, it wasn't just the utilities, but there actually was some National Guard on hand. Do you plan to work in coordination with the military in those cases?
That happens somewhat infrequently, but if there's a tornado like there was there and the state and the local officials bring in the National Guard, then of course we communicate and work with them. We have a process where we communicate directly with the communities, local officials, IEMA gets involved, the Illinois Emergency Management Association, and we have direct contact with those folks then as well. If we can't handle the storm with the resources that we have, we also participate in a mutual assistance through EEI, the Edison Electric Institute. And so when it's a very large event, then that's when we work through mutual assistance to bring in other line resources, linemen and others, from neighboring states and other utility companies to help us out.
Talking with Diana Jones, she is a division director for Ameren. We're talking about storm preparedness, and you know, the weather is so unpredictable. Has there ever been a time you said that sometimes that crews will be sent out the day before? Have you ever had a situation where the crews got sent out and then nothing really bad enough happened that their services were needed?
Yes, that has actually happened. You know, the forecast is just a forecast,
right,
and sometimes it changes. And we have, it was a number of years ago, I recall we sent some line resources to the southern part of the state that there was prediction. And then it just really kind of, you know, dissolved before it got to that area. So then, of course, when it's safe, we just bring them back home and go back to our daily operations.
Well, like I said, it's so unpredictable because then, like you said, well, it may happen, we'll be ready. But then you have a situation like in Washington on a Sunday morning in November that was just horrible. So you just never know. Was that a case? I mean, was the company having to really scramble when something like that happened, or were they ready for that?
No, that was a major event, of course, in Washington. But we're ready. We're prepared. We also had, you know, damage in Bloomington and other areas that day as well. And interestingly enough, when a significant tornado like that comes through and mass destructions of homes and all, our primary responsibility there then is to shut things down, to make sure that the gas gets shut off, to make sure that the electric is cut off. So there's actually, sounds kind of funny, but there's actually less for us to do in major destruction like took place in Washington than actually making all the repairs for when a typical thunderstorm or an ice storm or something occurs.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of ice storms and I guess wind storms, late last year was a busy time. I know you'd have a group of trucks here and then there would be big winds and you'd have to, these guys put in some long hours, didn't they?
That was a major storm at the end of December there, yes. We had ice. But before the ice, we had had significant rain, and so the ground was very soggy, very wet. Then we had the ice coupled with wind. And in an overhead utility company, that's truly our biggest nightmare. Ice is different than a thunderstorm because when you make repairs to the lines from ice, if it doesn't melt, if you don't get sun and a little bit of temperature warming and it doesn't melt, then you can repair something, but it can come right back down as the wind keeps blowing. So, yes, that was a significant event for us.
Well, you talked about the preparedness and everything the company goes through to get ready for an event. And, again, you never know ahead of time what it's going to be like. You don't know how bad it's going to be. It may not end up being that bad, but you're always prepared. What about the aftermath? Of course, you know, the complaint is there's always, you're never going to satisfy everybody. Everybody wants their power back on if it's been off. And your company know that. Your people
Certainly.
Know that. They're going to work as hard as they can and quickly as they can to get it back on. In fact, we had the situation where it was was it a state representative or something? Oh, we need to investigate this. Like, they were out there doing the work, trying to get it back on as quickly as they could. What is the process for that? Is there, obviously there has to be some rhyme or reason, but it's not like, okay, we're going to get these houses in this neighborhood back on because we don't like those people. I think people really think that it happens like that. And can you talk about the process of getting the power restored?
Sure. The first thing that we do in the first couple hours of a storm, we call it the initial damage assessment. And so as soon as it's safe, we have our linemen and field engineering resources go out. And through our systems and our information, we know where damage is on certain circuits and that kind of thing. So they are dispatched to those areas, and they are communicating back then the information of what damage we have. So we're particularly interested in down wire and broken poles. And from that information, then we can determine the number of resources that we need, if we need to ask for additional help from other areas, as well as making sure that we get the poles and whatever we need, you know, if we don't have enough on hand in local areas. We have storm trailers that are fully stocked, and we can ask for a trailer. And we have different voltages. If we have the 69 system, which is our sub-transmission, if we have problems there, we'll ask for a 69 trailer to be deployed to a certain area. So, and that's really kind of how the restoration process takes place. We concentrate on the higher voltages first because those feed the most customers. So, and we're also able to do switching at the higher voltages because we have tie lines in the 69 system, the 34.5 system. So we're sometimes able to just do switching and get customers in certain areas on back back on very quickly. And then we work from there all the way, you know, down to the individual who may be out in the country and the last person on the line. And they may be out for a while because we work through those single, all the way down to the single outages.
But it's not because you don't like them.
No, has nothing to do with that. And we certainly understand that we're very dependent on electricity these days. You know, everyone utilizes it for just everything. So we're well aware that no one wants to be out.
We've been impressed with, in recent years, our newsroom tries to keep everybody up to date when there is a power outage in the community, of what sections and about how much longer that's going to be. There was a time where we had no clue. It was just a matter of some phone calls, if we could catch somebody at the right time. Now there's a system in place where you're able to say, okay, here's what we estimate, here's the situation, and it really helps facilitate everybody, I think, their patience and their understanding in what you're trying to get done.
Right. Through technology and our communications team that is part of our storm process, we've made major improvements over the past several years. In technology, we do have information on our website where we actually have an outage map, and you can query that in different ways to find out, you know, by zip code what the outages are, by towns and that kind of thing. Also, we are improving our mobile apps where you can actually get text alerts and emails and that on your mobile phones. We can communicate with customers that way. And then we do have our communication team and our customer relations folks. And they actually assemble with us in our storm team command centers. And if a community puts in place their command center during an event, we'll actually put people on site with those communities, and then we can communicate directly with the community through the communications person as well. So we have made some good improvements over the past several years.
Talking with Diana Jones, she is a division director with Ameren. We're talking storm preparedness here this morning. Let's talk about, as individuals or families, some of the things that you can do to get ready. Obviously, one of those, kind of a storm kit. What are some of the things that, you know, people may not think, like, oh, it happens, it's going to be here, it's going to be over. Well, you never know. You could have a situation like Washington or Cameron. You just don't know what's going to happen, how serious it could be. So you have to have some things ready.
Right. And, of course, the primary, our priority is the safety of our customers as well as our employees. The first thing that a customer should do if they lose power is to make sure that they call in and not assume that we know that. And they can contact us through 800-755-5000 or through AmerenIllinois.com and to report that outage. But it's a good idea to have that home, you know, storm kit. A couple of things that we recommend are emergency phone numbers. We all tend to use our cell phones, and our numbers are all in our phone. But if you lose power to that phone, you don't have a good battery, you've lost your battery, you may not know those numbers that you might need. Flashlights are a good thing, coarse bottled water, non-perishable food. If it is predicted to be a couple of days, you might want to get that cooler and some ice before it happens. We do recommend that you keep the refrigerator and the freezer doors shut as much as possible, help them remain cold. And, of course, a first aid kit, medications, you know, those kinds of things, ID, important papers, any of that kind of thing that you think you might need.
Of course, we suggest they have some sort of transistor radio that
exactly.
has power, because we're going to keep you updated as much as we can as well.
Yeah, right, as long as we're getting electricity and we're on the air.
That's
That's the beauty of backups that most of the broadcast facilities have those. Do you find more people are investing in backup generators? Do you get much feedback on that, Diana?
We do. You know, there are residential people that are putting them in, and a lot of the critical customers, hospitals, nursing homes, they're required, of course, to have them. And then some of your local businesses, TV, radio, some retail, you know, it just depends on what their needs and all are. A lot of customers that have sophisticated computer systems and all will have a UPS system or some type of a generator to make sure that they maintain all their computer system as well.
You know, it's a little bit different. If obviously, like you said, having a storm kit available, first aid and all that, but in a situation where, you know, the tornadoes like that went through Washington, I mean, I guess number one is making sure everybody in your house is okay. But then I'm guessing one of those things, because you talked about one of the jobs that you guys have is shutting things down to make it safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there's so many different things, power lines down that can electrocute you, gas lines that are, you know, have been ruptured, and the possibility of fire. I mean, so what is the suggestion in a tragic situation like that? Get out and away. Don't try to flip a light switch on, or just in case, or and you know, stay away from the power lines, obviously. But I mean, is it to get away? And like you said, if you can call the 800 number, do that.
Yes, absolutely. Anytime you see a downed line, you should assume that it's still energized, because an individual customer is really not going to know. And so they should make sure that they stay away, all their family members, their pets, you know, stay away from that. And then we have a process where when we see a downed line and an order, that we send what we call a wire watcher there. And that's the whole purpose, is to keep the public safe and away from that downed wire. And then our linemen will come through and we'll do a cut and clear process to actually kill that line until a crew can get there and actually repair it. As far as gas, you're absolutely right. If there is gas or blowing gas, then you should get away from it. Don't make a phone call. Don't flip a light switch. Don't do anything that would be a source of combustion that would cause that gas to, you know, explode or cause a fire.
Mm. This is kind of a big picture question, but we hear about it a little more increasingly in these days, concerns over a national power grid. And most of us don't really understand just how the whole thing comes together, you know, how Ameren gets its electricity. Does it generate everything on its own regionally, or do they get it from somewhere else? Do you have meetings or talks about this national power grid, or is that something that maybe gets blown out of proportion sometimes, do you think?
No, it's very important. In Ameren, Illinois, and Ameren as a corporation, we actually have a transmission business segment or side of the company. And we're very involved in building new transmission today. And there are several projects that are coming through the state of Illinois that Ameren is building. And that is helping to strengthen that overall transmission, as you refer to the national grid. It just helps us to be able to get sources of power from different areas. In Illinois, we have become a distribution company only, so that means we no longer own power plants in Illinois. Now, Ameren, Missouri still does, but we purchase all of our power through the Illinois Power Authority and the regulators there. Transmission is increasingly important with the increased demand and need for electricity. Strengthening the transmission system, strengthening the distribution system, it's all very important. Utilities, most have been, you know, in operation for years and years and years, and we have aging infrastructure. So getting out there and putting new systems in place, repairing, replacing existing systems, is incredibly important.
It's like so many things, it's changed so much, because it doesn't seem that many years ago there was Illinois Power, there was CIPS and Silco. You heard all these companies that have kind of, I guess, merged to some degree, haven't they?
Yes, those we definitely have merged. Those are the three legacy companies that now make up Ameren, Illinois. And we basically serve from I-80 south all the way down to Carbondale, the tip of Illinois. And of course, there are some co-ops and some municipals spread throughout there, but that's our basic service territory. We serve about 48,000 square miles. To give you a point of reference, that's about the size of the state of Indiana.
Wow. So good sense, and pretty much ComEd to the north.
Yes.
With Chicago, a lot of customers, but area-wise, my goodness, you guys,
right.
you cover a lot. Anything else, Diana, that you'd like to add about storm preparedness, or what, you know, Ameren's role, or what people can do?
No, I would just ask that customers, again, report an outage, that they keep their safety and the safety of our employees as we're out working as the top priority. That's the most that we would ask that they can do. And when we're in those difficult situations, to have patience. We will get there, and we are working hard and doing the best that we can to get to them. And we will get everyone restored in a safe and efficient manner.
Diana, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Galesburg's Morning News with Tom Meredith and Jim Lee.